Big day in archery world today, brother. Right?
Boy, I wish we could have went to that ATA show.
That would have been something. We would have got our steps in.
Did you see that place? I watched the video of a fella. All he did was do a walkthrough. Like, just with his phone and walks through the whole thing.
Yeah.
28 minutes. Just walking through.
Just to walk. And I guarantee you, that's not the whole place.
The amount of money in gear that is at that show it's staggering.
I wouldn't have to work no more.
Did a lot of money there, man. They had e-bikes and everything in there. Well, certainly they got side-by-sides on the floor and everything in there, man.
Oh, yeah. They got everything
in there. It looked like they had a little bar set up right in the center. Like, you couldn't tell for sure if it was a bar, but it looked like, that could be a bar. I could see that being a bar.
That's probably a bar.
So, yeah, lots of cool stuff to come out of there this year, though, and you only really scratched the surface because it's only day three or whatever. And people need time to edit video, so they're not even up yet, right? All the things that are there.
A lot of it isn't, no. The ones that are pretty raw.
I guess, we'll talk about the one right out of the bag that's the two new bows from PSE.
Yeah.
And first impressions, don't get me wrong, PSE is a great brand, and they make awesome bows, and I'm sure that bow is real good. I'm sure there's no way they're making a bad bow. But I just expected something more.
Yeah. And I found out why today.
Okay.
I was watching Dudley's video about the Unite. Mm-hmm. And he said full on, it's just basically, it's a souped up Evo. It's a next gen Evo. And even with like the Picatinny rail.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, now they're just jumping on the bandwagon. But he even said, he's like, I had this designed like 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
We just didn't decide to put it out yet.
I think people make that common mistake when they're like, when they see another company do the same thing as another one, they go, oh, well, they're just copying them now. It's like, those bows are all in development like 4 years out.
It takes the
initial brainstorm
to engineer a new bow.
Just the initial brainstorm idea of going, like when Hoyt did it with the Ventum. You don't think 3 years ago they talked about putting a Picatinny rail system on a bow? And then the year of engineering the riser to make sure
figuring out how to make it work.
Have it integrated there and not compromise the riser.
Well, in his video, it showed on the side of the riser. Generation 7.
Yeah, exactly. So
it took to the 7th iteration for them to finally be like, okay, this is what we're going with. The thing I really like about the Unite, and it was also a point that he made in his video, is if you were to put it in a jig and level everything and then tilt it down, everything is dead in line.
Dead center.
You look through the limbs, you see the string in the center of the limbs, which line up with the arrow, which line up with the center of the grip. Like, everything is just in a straight line.
It is.
There's so many products that are, like, off to sides and shimming and this and that. And like, it should be just
straight. I will say something for their shim system. It is the second best one after Bowtech's deadlock system.
Well, Bowtech is so nice because it just turns a screw.
You back off a set screw and you start turning to move cams left or right.
Yeah.
Everybody else, you have to pull the axle. Except PSE now. You still have to press the bow, but it's just a little tool. Pulls out a little plastic spacer. You swap sides. Bop, bop.
Chuck it
in. You can't mess it up because all of the spacers, you just have to add up to a certain number, like mils. So if you put this one on this side, you know you need this one on the other side due to the chart, which is a super great idea. So, and in all honesty, it's a great system. I know people think that, because it's a fork and you got to put, but they don't do anything else. They're just sitting there after that. You know what I mean? It's not a big deal. They don't need to perform or do anything. They just need to act as a spacer. So... I applaud them for that. I think that was a great idea, but that was on the XF as well and on the Levitate and the Mach.
But that's what I find funny too, right? Because he say like 4 years ago, I had this bow in development. It's like, well, then how come so much of the development in that bow came out on other new bows first?
I mean, maybe just Hoyt got to it first. Maybe that was low on the priority of PSE's.
That's just the Picatinny rail, though, right? But think of like the other things that PSE has used. If he had that designed already 4 years ago, why did the XF get certain things?
Right. And, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm most happy that they redesigned that cam.
Oh, the EC2 cam. That is the most exciting part of that bow. Because we all know how we feel about the EC cam. Arguably, you could say best cam ever right now.
Probably.
And
it's in the conversation.
Definitely in the conversation. And now that they've designed it like with the new wider limb pocket for a little bit more stabilization, and it's a little bit faster because I think they took some weight out of the cam.
334 they're calling for now.
So that's pretty good.
MFJJ got 321.
Consistently. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a little bit slower than they say.
But even once you dress that up, even for me shooting what I'm shooting, I'm still going to be at 290.
Yeah.
Fully dressed. So I got little baby arms, folks.
I don't concern myself too much with like the speed of a bow.
No, I don't really give a shit as long as I know it's got enough to do what I want it to do. Far more concerned about
it being smooth to pull. I like a good feeling cam over a lightning fast cam.
Well, and smooth is fast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
To a degree. Obviously, there's a tipping point.
And you get the aggressive cams that just go bonkers ballistic fast. And I'm sure in certain applications that's important. But for deer hunting... And moves any of it really, as long as you're shooting over 270 or even 260, man.
Like, I mean, unless you're going for hippo,
but then you're shooting a 90 pound bow,
90 pounder
with 700 or what is it that
it was like an 1100 grain arrow or something.
I think it was, he said
something like that.
Good luck, insane. I think he used a 100 pound bow too.
Yeah. Around there, yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I watched that video. That's pretty nuts, man. He had to go in the water and haul that thing. I hope the god is dead. You know what I'm saying? You get in the water with the hippo. You're like...
Because they are so dangerous.
Oh, they're the most... If you pitted every animal against each other in a gladiator arena, a hippo would win. What beats it? Name something even... A bear couldn't scratch it.
Maybe a rhino.
Maybe.
Stab
maybe
it.
lucky
elephant
shot
maybe. Well, just big belly, right?
But
and they got a horn.
A bear's not doing nothing with it.
But
wouldn't even break the skin. You know what I mean? Even a polar bear, man.
If it was just gonna be,
well, a polar bear's pretty big though.
A polar bear is pretty big, but it's got small mouth.
Armor either, and the mouth on a hippo is. Boy, this hippos. Took a left turn from PSE bows to hippos eating polar bears. It's great. That's what I love about it.
Don't even live together.
Not even in the same like hemisphere.
So back to the ATA show.
Well, hey, with the PSE, I think they're chasing lightning with the NTN. And I don't think they're going to strike lightning twice. I'm sure it's a very good bow. That NTN is highly regarded in just the Evo alone is highly regarded in most circles. It's like, that was a goddamn good bow.
Like, you're freaking right.
We talk about it all the time, too, actually. That's how much we like it.
Oh, yeah. It always comes up.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my next one, the one I want to bring up first, it's by XOP. Mm-hmm. So they make a lot of tree stands. This one's a climber. Okay. The big problem I've had with most of the climbers I've been researching is they're all like 28 pounds plus.
Bit of weight.
Hefty, right? Don't get me wrong. Still backpackable.
Yeah.
Still got backpack straps on them and stuff. But you still got other shit you got to bring.
Yeah, for sure. You're not just packing your stand in.
No. So the new XOP climber, it's got a nice big platform for your stand, and it's 18 by 26, so 18 wide, 26 out from the tree. The seat portion, it doesn't have a back on it, which I like, because the horseshoe for the clamp around the tree, the way it's joined, it all folds flat.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So even once you put the base and the seat folded flat together, like to strap together for transport, they're still less than 4 inches thick.
That's not bad.
Super slim, right? But the whole setup only weighs 18 pounds.
That's a pretty big deal, because like you said, that's 10 pounds lighter than the one you were looking at.
Huge.
That's a lot, man.
That's my backpack.
For sure it is.
Like if I'm just on a day hunt.
100%. If you just got your rattlers in there, a little sandwich or whatever. Yeah. And
just a couple little things, right? Like, but 18 pounds. And here's the best part. Like, yes, this is American pricing, but it's $500.
It's not bad.
So the most of the ones that are in the same range for features and are way heavier, they're starting at like $699, $799 and up. So XOP is a good established brand. They've been making tree stands for a while. For a $500 price point with those features, like, don't get me wrong, it's very slim. It's very, like, there's not a whole lot of extra features, right? Like, there is a seat pad and everything that's made, like, a real nice seat pad. So you're not just sitting on metal.
But it's not like the lap of luxury version either.
Yeah, there's not a whole bunch of accessories with it, because that's not what it's meant for. It's a lightweight, easy moving setup. And it's a climber. So to be able to have that in the ultra lightweight.
Yeah.
Ugh,
it's.
That's.
Everything is going to that, like, that mobile hunter mentality. Yeah. So like the climbers, and then like saddles are going to be, they're growing in popularity every year.
Huge now.
Timber Ninja just came out with one at the ATA show. It's the lightest one on the market. It has like nano stretch technology in the seat. So it stretches more horizontally than it does vertically. So I guess that makes a more comfortable seat. It also has magnets on the side, so that you can clip magnetically your climbers to it, and you can clip your platform to it. So as you climb up the tree, it's just hanging off.
Kind of magnet?
No, you got and a magnet that holds it in place. So it sits in like a pocket, and then a magnet holds it there. But that must be convenient for climbing up, and like having that thing on your back would be great, right? Instead of having it in your hands or shit, whatever, in your pack.
Roping it up.
Which, so all great ideas for sure. And then what else they say? They had, I can't remember now. I had it written down too. Where is it too?
If you had it wrote down,
I can't find the page that is on that. Anyway, but yeah, it looked like they didn't give a price though. It looked like a great stand or a great saddle, but they didn't give a price. And I'm sure being the lightest on the market, it's probably not going to be in the cheap realm of anything. You know what I mean? It's probably going to be like.
No, well, that's like Tethered put out a new one. I can't remember. I didn't write down the name of it, but it's like a full harness.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too. Yeah.
Right. So it's just a lot of extra support for you in the stand, and their new platform that pairs with it is super nice, really big. Yeah. I didn't see a price point, but again, you know damn well
it's not gonna be cheap.
When you throw the platform and at least three sticks and the harness,
you're gonna be thousand.
And then a rope,
you're gonna
be
and a beaner
easily.
Now, and that's American. I think the kit that I priced from Tether that I want to get is, by the time you add in the kit and the extra large platform, because that's an add-on to the kit, plus some sticks, whether I buy them from Tether or not, it's $800 Canadian.
Oh, like,
I'm perfectly expecting to spend $1,000.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Which is nuts.
Oh, yeah. It's super expensive.
A little bit of metal.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's literally all it is, a bit of metal. We need to get some welders. Some stuff. Get a TIG welder, make some out of aluminum.
Yeah, you'd have to make it out of aluminum just to make the base light. Like, yeah,
of course.
Can you imagine making it out of anything else? Yeah. I'm waiting for them to come up with carbon fiber platforms.
Yeah, well, they got sticks now. So
yeah, that was the next one on the list. They had they introduced some carbon climbing sticks, which I'm sure the price is going to be unreal.
They're going to be $7.99 just for three sticks.
A set of normal sticks at Cabela's is $300 for like three sticks. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
So
they're going to be $700
Yeah, probably. And then, so they're 18 inches, two steps each, and they're just over a pound. They're 19 ounces. So they don't weigh anything.
Hardly.
Pepsi can weighs a pound. A full Pepsi can. I mean, it would be nice. I mean, the whole point, I get for sure. The whole lightweight hunter thing is, I think, the way to go.
It's because you're all niche.
It's not that. It's just niche, around whatever. Around here, because you have to be mobile. If it were in a place like back home where there's a lot of public land,
you
don't really need to worry about being mobile because you can just build whatever you want. The likelihood of anybody finding it is minimal.
And slim.
Yeah, there's just so much public land and so easily accessed with all the woods roads. But here you got to be mobile, man. It's the key. It really is.
Tricky. I guess it's the same way for a little bit more of the Western hunters, too. Like Central Western.
Yeah. Yeah. They would be mobile guys, right?
Because they got a lot of trek around to go.
Yeah.
Unless you have a big parcel of land to hunt.
Well, down in the States, it works so differently. Because you can do leases and stuff like that. Of like lease it to hunt. Yeah. I guess you can do
some of that here, too. Yeah.
It's just less common, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
You don't hear about it here as much. Like people talk about, oh, I got a lease on this land down there. Like it's like you're renting an apartment around here. You know,
yeah, it's super common.
That's like a normal thing. If anybody knows anybody who wants to lease some land for hunting, just on the Instagram, just slide into them DMs, right? And just drop us a line, man. Like, hey, and I'm an electrician by trade, so if you need any electrical work done around your farm, free as charge. You got to buy the material, but you know what I'm saying? We want is hunting rights. That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah. We'll
clean up after ourselves. We're not pigs.
I've seen a product that I know you will really
I hope it's the one that I'm thinking of, but we'll see.
Maybe. I got a couple still on the list. This one's from Painted Arrow.
I knew it was the one. Yeah.
And it's a phone mount. It's called the Mag Pro. And it mounts in between your stabilizer and your quick disconnect.
With a rubber pad for shock absorption.
With a rubber pad. It's got a nice big magnet. Covers almost the majority of the back of the phone. So you know it's not going anywhere. And they have an 8-degree down drop version. They have a 10 degree down drop version. They also have a selfie stick version. Yeah. Real clean looking piece. And the way that where it's also adjustable up and down. So, you know, you can really balance that out with your stabilizer weights after you get it set up.
It's such a simple concept, but a great idea. Yeah.
It's a bracket.
What a great idea to have it thread in where the stabilizer goes. Done. Phone snaps onto it. The magnet comes in the kit with the plate. It's a great idea, man.
It's good to go.
And I'm going to find out if we can get them in Canada. Because I want one of those. Imagine how much it does for you when it comes to film and hunts. Like, man, cameras are expensive, bro. If you want to buy like a decent camera, like one of those guys like Chris B and them use, you're talking, if you can find it used, it's $1,000 for a Sony A1. And that's it. Getting it for $1,000 is fine and a good deal. It is out there because I've seen them.
Yeah.
Then you got to buy a lens. Now, the lens is $6,000 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're $2,000 in the camera gear.
Yeah.
Your cell phone takes pretty good video.
But last time you upgraded your phone, just keep it.
Yeah. Because 4K cameras are on all phones now, so you're good to go there in that regard.
Yeah. So as long as you had, like, even if your old phone was like an iPhone 10 or 11, you're still covered.
Still getting good footage.
Then if it gets wet, you don't care.
Yeah, doesn't matter. And the only problem with cell phones is you don't get the zoom like you can with a mirrorless cam, like a DSLR camera or whatever.
Yeah, not quite as much.
You don't get the nice clear zoom in. So for sure, if you're going to want to like get close-ups and stuff, you got to have one of those, you know, a legit camera, right?
Like the Google Pixel is really good at that zoom thing. I know they're Chinese, but Huawei's got that really good camera.
The only problem is then the Chinese government's watching what you're doing.
I know.
It's not good. Can't happen. It's not good. They just signed a huge deal with a bank and Russia and all that shit over there too, so they're going to be independent of American oil and all that stuff soon. They're dealing with Saudi Arabia now, so that's going to go well for the Americans.
I'll bet.
Not so great.
Luckily,
we're your neighbors, lads.
You want us?
It's all good.
We're on your side. You want us to look up Helix broadheads?
Yeah, some.
Holy hell, man! These things would drop like a dinosaur.
They're pretty intense, for sure.
Whoa! Yeah. So two blade broadheads, and they basically look like two Avro arrows.
Yeah,
set offset 90 degrees from each other, like poor short blade and a long blade. But the long blade's like 3 inches long.
Yeah,
it's
a small triangle up front, and then it fattens out in the back.
I think you can
get them with bleeders too, eh?
God damn.
It's something else. It's a broadhead. For sure. Oh,
that's when you want for the hippo.
I think he had something very similar looking, like style-wise to that, just like a heavy metal.
It goes up to 500 grain, I think it was. That's just the broadhead. That's how much my whole arrow weighs. Or no, my whole arrow weighs, I think I'm like 5'12".
Yeah,
I'm
5'10". Yeah. You should that heavy of arrow, right? 5'12".
I like a heavy arrow. Too.
That's why I don't care about speed that much. It's not really. Energy.
I need the punching force.
The weight, the
kinetic energy. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Breaking shoulder blades, you know?
But all in all, ATA looked like it had some real good gear there. Badlands had some stuff there that they've got that's new for this year. Obviously, First Light, Sitka, all those guys were there. A lot of cool, you know, watching that show, and I want to go next year if it's anywhere close to us like it was this year. The amount of, I know we say it all the time, but the access that the States has to the coolest gear, just it dwarfs us.
It's not even in the same.
We're not even, man. Like, you know how people say you're not in the same ballpark. We're not even on the same continent. No. When it comes to like this access to sweet gear,
no, not
them
even
lads
handy.
Man, did you see some of the blind, like the permanent hut blinds that you can put up? Half of them, you could live in that.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, man.
Composite walls. Just like
17 windows to shoot out of. You know what I mean? Convertible power removing roof.
Gotta be like, that's got to be $6,000. It's got to be like $5,000-$6,000. It's got to be like buying a trailer.
Yeah.
It's got to be like buying a trailer.
I'm just joking, by the way, folks. There was no convertible. Deer Hutster. I'm exaggerating on the fact that they have like, they thought of like everything in there.
Outlandish.
They have some pre-wired with plugs. You literally run an extension
cord. Don't surprise me at all.
To the hut.
Yeah. Or bring a battery with you.
And it powers the hut up.
Yeah. Why not? You gotta be hot, right?
There's heaters built in half of them.
Well, how are you supposed to go hunting if you can't bring the kettle with you and have a cup of tea?
I mean, listen, if you're an older fella with a big old parcel of land and you want to take the old girl out with you hunting, you know, you're in your 65, 70s, you're retired.
There you go.
Man, I'm telling you right now, that's what you want. She'll go with you every time. You bring good books in out there in nature, man, all comfortable and stuff like that. You just sitting there.
You just staring at the window.
Waiting on a deer. You know what I mean? It's patience for waiting on your girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean.
You're waiting for that deer to come in.
It'd be nice.
Oh, they're nice. They're nice rigs, man. Really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Darton had a lot of new bows there. I don't know a whole lot about their gear, so I can't comment.
Me neither, actually.
Again, just not because we have anything against them, just because to get them here, you would...
Just don't know.
I don't even know where you would start to find them. Out west, maybe? The boys might have them, but for the most part, Matthews, Hoyt, and PSE.
I don't know if I've seen one around here.
Matthews, Hoyt, PSE, Rule of Roost. When it comes to bows.
A little bit of Bowtech.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Bowtech as well. Actually, they got a lot of them. But those are the, you know, those four mainstream companies are the ones that pretty much dominate. If you're going to get into a flagship bow here in Canada, you're getting one of them. Unless you're a Western guy who's buying an APA. You know.
Yeah.
If you're into that style of bow, single limb. All that stuff.
I'm kind of feeling it, but kind of not.
I'm going to stick
with, it's got a different look
with Hoyt until somebody wants to give me free bows. then you might pull me away from them.
I do too.
Don't get me wrong. So anyway, lots of cool stuff out of there. Too many things to mention. You'd be here all day.
You could talk
amazing
for
stuff though, man. Just keep your eye on Badlands. They got some cool gear coming out. For this
hopefully season. They start making some cold weather.
The Pariah system seems pretty good.
Jeez.
I've been looking at it, but
yeah, but I want like for minus 20.
Yeah.
Not minus 5.
I think their biggest problem is they're $100 off of the Sitka or the first light gear. If you go to the cold, like if you go to their if you go to their max cold weather gear, which is the Pariah. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, it's set of bibs and a jacket. Good for, I think it said like 10 degrees Fahrenheit. So good and cold. You know what I mean?
So that's like minus
20 degrees Fahrenheit is -6.6.
So it's like minus 15,
which is pretty much as cold a rating as you're going to get outside of like Canada Goose gear.
Deep winter stuff.
So like first light gear is only rated for a little under 20 degrees Fahrenheit down to 10. You know what I mean? Like they won't make a claim past that. Sitka's the same way. So, you know, it'll keep you warm in the minus 15 days. But they're $500 for the jacket. Sitka and first lighter, $600 for the jacket.
Yeah.
It's hard if you're going to spend $500 on a jacket. It's hard not to go with the two top brands for $100 more. Yeah. Right? Like if you go to anybody and you say, "Hey, what is the best clothing system on the market for hunting?" They're going to say one of two things. They're probably going to say Sitka because they're a little bit more known.
A little bit more, and they're a little bit more expensive.
But they're going to say that and First Light. And you might get a couple of people that say Kuyu.
Yeah.
But those are, I mean, they're the top dogs, the three of those guys.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend the extra $100. Yeah.
You would think.
Just because marketing is going to get you. Right?
Yeah.
Like... First Light has basically its own television program showing you how good it works. If you watch Meat Eater, you go, those guys are in a fucking, they're in Alaska. They're legit in Alaska and they're wearing it. They've got a half an hour commercial on Netflix for 11 seasons.
Yeah.
It's hard. You can't claim that it doesn't work because them fellas are out in it all the time.
Yeah. So it gotta be working. Otherwise, they'd be shivering and soaked and miserable.
If it's not that, all you see is on Instagram, like all the top dog hunter fellas are like Dudley Wear Sitka, Crispy Sitka. You name them. If they're not wearing First Light, they're wearing Sitka or Kuyu. One of the two.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to end up spending the extra $100 for sure.
Damn it.
And again, the accessibility of all those brands, Sitka in Canada is the most accessible brand to us because you can go to Bass Pro and buy it, or Cabela's. First Light and Kuyu are all online, and they're all coming from America. So you're going to pay duties on all of them.
Also true.
Right? Which sucks. So if you count in the duties, First Light is going to be more expensive than Sitka.
Yeah.
If, you know what I mean?
That is true.
Plus shipping.
Yeah.
Because like you say, you can go to Cabela's and just pick it up.
Just pick it up off the shelf.
So there is a convenience of that as well, right? I know we mentioned this in the last show, but it's
convenient. It matters.
Yeah, of course it matters.
It does matter. It comes in, especially when you're looking at that kind of price point. Because if you're going to spend $600, $700 on a coat, and then the coat's going to come to you and you haven't tried it on, fit. Now it doesn't fit right. Now you got to send it back. Still got no coat. Now you got to wait.
Probably pay for the shipping again.
And then they're going to ship you another one.
It's not going to be fun.
So now you're 6-8 weeks minimum.
Luckily, I trust First Light to fit.
Potentially. I would think it's tricky because I don't know. It's weird for me when I put on stuff.
Me too. Like,
I tried the scent lock stuff. I didn't mind it, but it was just, it didn't
fit. Well, that's the other issue too. Like, I mean, I'm sure scent lock is good for sure. People use it all the time. I mean,
it feels like quality gear.
The stuff we looked at felt warm, felt like it would do the job 100%.
Oh, yeah.
But again, their coldest weather gear is $500, which is the same price as the Badlands gear. It's just, it's hard not, I know it's marketing on Sitka's part and First Light's part, but it's hard not to just bump yourself up the other $100. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
you know, it's, I'm sure scent lock is very, very good and very, very warm. It looks super warm.
Oh, I got no doubt. But I tried it on and for like, I almost need like to take two jackets of different sizes and meld them into one. So that doesn't really work, right? Because like if I use a large, the sleeve cuffs are past my thumbs.
It's funny you mention that because it is an unfair comparison if you don't try on the jacket that fits you, right? Like when we were at Cabela or at Bass Pro the other day when we tried on the Sitka, the Fanatic gear, it was a large and it didn't fit. Like, remember we were saying, we're like, it doesn't, fits weird. Like it's very drafty on the bottom, but we were, I thought about it after. I was like, we were wearing a large, which is way too big for us.
In that size,
the sleeves on me were like, man, they were covering my hands and like it was real airy underneath. So I think a medium might make the difference. I think I missed the hood though. I think I wish it had a hood.
I'm on the fence with hoods.
With bow hunting.
To me, it depends on the coat.
And with bow hunting, it worries me to buy a thing, something with a hood, because if it gets in the way, like if it's got a big collar, it might get in the way of your draw, right? Now, I know Sitka, on their collar, that's why that has the left and right-handed jackets. It has a magnet on the side of the collar, so you can clip it down so you can draw your bow, which is, I mean, good on them. That's a pretty cool thought. You know, what a cheap or a genius solution to a problem.
Yeah, it's just a couple magnets and a little zipper.
Doesn't cost any extra money, really. Stitch them in. Done. So, so we are going to try to make it to ATA next year. Hopefully, if it's close by enough, you know, it'd be nice if it was Michigan. I think it's in Indianapolis a lot. Yeah, it's not that far from here, I don't think. Is it six hours or something?
But it's weird for me too, though. Like, I need to buy like small bibs sometimes and a medium coat. And there's been times I've had small bibs and a large coat.
Yeah. Depends on the manufacturer, right, of the gear.
Sometimes yeah, like, strange. I guess I'm too stout for my shortness. Mm.
A lot of stuff is getting into that athletic cut too, right? Like the
fit, yeah,
the V,
very tapered
with the right shoulder pockets and stuff, which is good because I don't want to say we're athletes or anything, but we're built kind of that way where we're a little bit wider up top than we are as you go down.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Stacked, bro.
I'm swole, son. it's nice to not have that boxy feeling. It's like putting on a suit.
Yes.
Remember them suits you got back in the day? They were just square cuts. Just a square. They made you look like fucking arms. A box walking down the road. And you go, that's why you always hated wearing a suit. Now when I put a suit on, I go, all right, this is good because it fits nice. You're like, okay. Yeah. You look like a fucking cardboard box walking down the road. Fuck. I got nothing else really on the ATA show. I mean, like I say.
The only other thing I saw that looked nice was the Excel Achieve XP Ranger. Mm-hmm. Total mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
So it's off the Landslide platform. Okay. This is the extended range version. So something to do. It's weird. The way Buddy was describing it on the video almost made it sound like what Dialed is doing with their angled.
Oh, okay.
The way the scope comes down on a angled back towards the sight or towards the riser. But their bracket is still vertical.
Right.
Like perpendicular to the ground. I see. So I don't know where they're getting the extra range from. But hey, it looked cool.
Those Dialed sights do look cool.
Sure look
too.
Good.
I like those. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they look super neat, fly.
Yeah. So you're gonna end up year with a climber. Is your plan? That's your plan for this.
Yeah, that's the
plan. 2023 season. You're running a climber, right?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna run a saddle.
Yeah.
Mobility is the focus this year for sure. We're going to see if we can get more mobile and with access to a little bit of farmland and stuff like that would be real good.
That's going to be the big secret, man, is access.
I think so, yeah.
We get access figured out.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be so smiling. Well, then we got consistency, right? That's the big name of the
game. What do you think Hoyt is going to release this year?
That's kind of hard to say because they just threw out the VTM. So I don't think it's going to be soon. I think it'll be like summer maybe. Yeah.
I think they're going to launch something in the summer, like you say, just before the fall. I think it's going to be a new carbon.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Yeah, I could see them doing
some
a new
variation on the RX-7 platform because it did so well for them last year. They're going to tweak that just so, and it's going to make a real, or they're going to call it like an RX-7X or something like that.
Nine. They already got the 7 Ultra.
Yeah. But that comes out at the same time as the 7. Yeah, it's just the long version of it.
It was the fast version.
No, the Ultra is the long version. The fast version is, the turbos. actually, that's probably coming too because they don't have an RX-7 turbo version yet. I don't think they have the RX-5 turbo version. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
They made a turbo. Yeah.
So that'd be cool too.
I think they did. Yeah. I could see that being your next bow, a 7.
Yeah. I love that bow. I think it's great. That one in bourbon that we were looking at. Remember that?
Oh.
So, folks, just so. We haven't talked about it yet. We were, Gary came down about a week and a half ago, and we went in Toronto, stopped by Canadian Archery Online, and new bow day.
Yeah.
You got a lab
bow day. Mm-hmm. I do? Oh. Well, I'm going to give it a little go. I'm going to try some recurve.
Boy.
Not traditional, not yet. I will get a traditional hunting eventually. But, going to get into the Olympic recurve. Give that a try. I did enjoy it. We let go probably a dozen arrows or so at the store there. And
I did like that. I did like that hunting riser, the traditional hunting riser out there. The
all black one.
With the wooden, the burnt wooden handle. That was cool. I could do something like
That's hot, yeah.
I'd get into that.
Yeah, I bet you could.
But while we were there,
yeah,
they had a RX-7 in the new bourbon color, which is
amazing.
Similar to the buckskin, but darker. We like some character to it.
And more vibrant.
And
it's like they took the buckskin and put some carrot
in it or something. It looks super cool.
So good. So
and if I were to buy an RX-7, it would be in the bourbon color.
It, I would be upset if you
didn't. I don't think you can get it in any other color.
Like, you need to try and get the stabilizers in that color.
Oh, just
and the sight in
deck
that
it
color.
Out in bourbon. Just like, the name of the color.
If you could get the whole bow in bourbon and then with like a white string,
that would be pretty cool.
Oh,
it's there's so many color combos that would look super cool with that because it's such a unique color.
Red strings
would be cool. Would be
amazing.
What was I thinking about the other day? I think it was like burgundy strings, like dark burgundy strings.
Mm. Be cool. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking about for the Volvic.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, that's yeah, I could do a bourbon RX-7.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset about that at all.
We can always paint them.
I got this thing about painting bows, man. I like, you know what I mean?
I've watched a bunch of videos on
a lot of fellas paint their bows.
It comes out real good.
Yeah. A lot of fellas do paint their bows. I think Dave was thinking about painting his bow at one point. Yeah, he was hoping that PSE was coming out with something gangster.
I could see him going for a Unite.
I don't think it's that much different than what he shoot enough different.
Well,
do you know the price point on that bow?
Biggest difference? No, I don't.
You want me to break your heart?
What? Now, okay. The first thing that Dudley put out about it was that this is to be able to be in a flagship aluminum and not have to worry about the price of carbon, blah, 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 blah. So what is it, $19.99?
For the 30, it's $17.
That's in the Fortis?
It's $1,700. For the 33, it's $18.
And the Unite's
going to be more because it's a knock-on bow. So you can bump, if there's a 30-inch version, you can bump that one up to probably, you know, $17.50
or $18.99.
And then you can bump up the 33 to somewhere around $18.50, $19.
If not $2,000.
You can buy a Bowtech Carbon 1 for $2,000.
Yeah.
It's, in my opinion.
It's not straying far enough away from the carbon price,
and yet inflation is a crazy thing right now for everything, and it's a little bonkers, but an aluminum bowl needs to sit anywhere from the 15 to maximum 17 range. That's where it has to sit.
You would think it's a bare bowl.
$16.50 for like your 33-inch model, you know, when you start creeping up into $2,000, man, like, and I get it. The carbon bows are going to be even more now. They're going to be $2,500,
$2,600. Yeah. For sure, because they're going to have to be justifiably more
than the aluminum. Or why would you buy an aluminum bow?
Supposedly, right?
You know, unless you like the feel of it, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, more people buy aluminum bows than carbon.
Oh, for sure. And normally, because you can deck your bow out almost for the same price as just a carbon bow. Like my Ventum was $16.50.
Yeah.
The only other option I was looking at was either an RX-7 or a Levitate. Both are $2,300-$2,400. So by the time I paid $16.50, I bought my sight as well before I was at the price of, or at least the rest, before I was at the price of a Levitate or an RX-7. That's big, man. That's a big deal.
Even more so.
You know what I mean? When you can buy,
you were a rest and half a sight, three quarters of your sight.
Because yeah, the sight's $500, I think, for the
So that only brings you to 21.
So you're
$350 for a sight. Now you're still not to 25.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm in rest, my sight and my rest for the same price as just the Levitate or just an RX-7.
Yeah,
which is
and that makes sense though.
Yeah, I do. I agree. It makes sense
because you have the aluminum platform.
Sure. I have the heavier.
But now to just get the platform, if it's $1,800,
now you're only getting the
up for another month for $200 or whatever, and go buy a carbon. Like,
but it's I'm trying to look up the price right now to verify, but I don't know if anybody's got them on.
They might not even have it released yet.
In Canada, we probably don't even have them yet. Oh, they got the Levitate on sale for $1,899. That's a pretty good price, actually. If anybody, any of our listeners right now are looking for a Levitate, like you want to get into a new carbon bow, Canadian Archery Online in Toronto has them on for
$1,899. Yep.
That's
big it up. Shout out to Canadian Archery Online, by the way. They spent tons of time with me, treated me great. It's a grand
experience. They did a good job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Go buy their stuff.
Absolutely. Very knowledgeable fellas.
Nice new store too. They were cramped in that last one. Now they got space.
And a real good layout. Very nice, very clean, very professional looking. Yeah. Like
compound, recurve, traditional. They got all of it.
All laid out real well. You don't go in there. It's not like, not that I'm shitting on bow shops for having the plywood wall thing, because I kind of enjoy that. You know what I mean? But most bow shops you see have like that plywood wall thing going on or whatever. Yeah. These guys are very, very clean, professional looking.
Professional.
But you can tell they're target archers, right? There's not a lot 100%. Of guys in there hunting. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, they might, but they're primarily.
Yeah, they're mostly target archers. You know what I mean? I wouldn't go in. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I wouldn't go in there looking for veteran hunting advice. You might get some hunting advice, but you're better off, I think, going to your local bow shop that's, you know,
hunting their local area.
Sure. But if you're looking for a recurve and knowledgeable dudes, they're the guys to go. And if you want to Levitate, they're on sale. Makes me want to buy one now.
It's a good price.
It's a real good price, man. That's like $600.
But see, now that's what's crazy. That's in the now existing aluminum prices.
Basically, you're right in there now. I mean,
you're only $100 more if you're willing to buy $100 more for a jacket.
Yeah, you're gonna buy it for a bow.
I'm definitely sure gonna spend an extra $100 to get a carbon bow.
Yeah. I'm impressed. Actually, I didn't think they would go on sale that much. That's super cheap.
Well, now the Mach 34 is out. The Unite's out.
That's very true.
Things are moving
forward. Man, they really got on that another aluminum bowl real quick. It feels like they only just put the XF out.
Yeah, year and a half maybe.
But they got a replacement for it already.
It's something I realized too, man. Like, it's kind of sad. Like, I understand the advancement of the sport and all of that, but like there's a lot of really great platforms, man, that just get canceled.
Oh yeah,
because they need something new.
Yeah, the NTN, like
that Evo, they should still be making that without a single change.
Or even if they wanted to keep it and just like, oh, we'll add the Picatinny rail to it. Oh, we'll add this to it.
Yeah, whatever.
If you were going to take any bow in the world and keep it forever and just keep upgrading it, the NTN is the one to do it to.
It's something like that.
Super good. Like, just, oh, do you see the new grip on the new Fortis? It's different. It's not their comfort grip anymore. It's slimmer, more rubberized, and it's textured. So it looks it looks more like a Hoyt grip, like the new Hoyt grip.
Okay, yeah.
So I'd be curious. I kind of want to shoot one just to see what it feels like, but I want to shoot it in the EC2 camp. I don't want nothing to do with the other two camps.
Definitely.
Don't care.
No.
Take them off.
No, thanks.
Get rid of
them. No interest.
Right in the garbage.
Too snappy.
I shot it on a levitate. I didn't like it.
No.
Stick with the EC2s. They have better adjustability anyway.
I mean.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. More of a range.
100%. Well, on that note, folks.
Oh. It sucks for me, though. I'd still only be one up.
You would only be one up, yeah.
One setting. Yeah.
I'd be three. Shit.
Maybe I should go to the doctor and see if they'll like.
Do you want to see if we can stretch your arms in?
Well, no, because my shoulders will just
put extensions in your arms.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, how are we going to make that work?
We'll just lob your arm off. Stick a rod.
They do it with people with their legs. They break their legs, and grow a little bit more. Then they break them again, and they grow a little bit more. And they just keep breaking them until you get taller.
That's terrible. I don't want to do that. Though.
For like 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah, they keep it. By all means, go ahead.
Whatever, man. I hit my head on a whole lot less shit.
I don't mind being short. I'm okay with it.
No, it's good. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, folks, stay tuned. We got some guests lined up for a couple episodes that we hope you enjoy. They're great dudes, and I think you'll enjoy those podcasts. Brother, you got anything to add?
Can't wait to talk to you again. We'll be back again.
Can't wait for turkey
soon.
Season. That's what we're striving for now.
Turkey season. Talk about that. Definitely got to do that. I'm going to go scope that piece of land that I found. Saturday.
I got turkeys coming in flat out up there now.
Ooh.
All over the place. So we're going to keep that going. Okay, folks. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to help us out, you can smash the subscribe button so you get automatic downloads every time we release a new episode. And hit us up over on the Instagram. And if you got any listener questions or anything like that, by all means, DM us. We're more than happy to feature them on the show. It'd be great. Going forward, I'm going to try to do a like a pick of the week I'm going to try to do new gear that's not like super expensive. So like it won't be like a bow or anything like that. It'll be something like
blue collar man.
Yeah, stuff. It'll be something like that that camera mount that goes to your stabilizer. You know what I mean? Something that's probably going to be like $20 to $75 that would add on and make your life a little bit easier if you're filming hunts or hunting or whatever and stuff like that. So. Okay, folks, again, thanks for listening. Good night.
Love shot.